do something, test the result. It's the absolute best way to keep optimizing and understanding what your actions are doing.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this marketing-focused podcast. If you're not familiar with our format, well, each month we focus on a different marketing method. Could be email or SEO or Facebook ads, or a topic like this month's focus on marketing attribution. And each week I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. This month is all about marketing attribution, that tricky, tricky zone of confusion for most marketers, and something we're all guilty of putting our heads in the sand about at one point or another. We're two episodes down and two to go. And I warned you it was going to be an eclectic month as we try to tackle it from some different angles. So far, we've looked at how you can start your attribution explorations with GA4, aka Google Analytics 4. We've shared lots of tips on how to get started and whether you even need to tackle this in your business right now. And we've looked at why you should always be thinking about the customer journey as you're exploring attribution. Those episodes are available for you to hear right now. And in this episode, we are going to be exploring some of the do's and don'ts, because my guest is spending a lot of time at the moment working with brands to get this set up. So she's going to be exploring some do's and don'ts of how to get yourself set up for success. We're also going to talk about what some of the outcomes might be, some of the dramatic tests you might choose to do. And we're going to be talking about the art side of this, because this is not, marketing attribution is not a pure science. It's not you plug all your numbers in and it gives you the answer. There is interpreting to be done, and that's where the art comes in. So my guest is going to be talking around that a bit as well. So lots coming up. Do make sure you listen right to the very end, because at the end of the interview, my guest will also be sharing some quickfire insider tips to help you maximize the performance once you start with the marketing attribution. And I'll be sharing my take on it all, plus outlining some more free ways we can help you get to grips with it. So stay tuned to the end. So, do you want to transform your data into growth? Given you're listening to one of our marketing attribution episodes, I reckon the answer might be yes. So I would like to tell you about Triple Whale, the smart data platform where you can manage analytics, attribution, and creative for your Shopify store in one place. Triple Whale brings the metrics that matter most into one easy-to-use dashboard, giving you the real-time insights you need to grow your brand. Just like Ash Melwani and the team at Obvi did using Triple Whale to increase revenue 67%, reduce Facebook cost per acquisition by 44%, and save over 2,800 hours of manual calculation time. Wow. Find out all about Triple Whale at keepopt.com/triplewhale, or why not grab a quick call with one of their strategists to see how over 5,000 Shopify brands are using Triple Whale to turn data into profit. You can do all that at keepopt.com/triplewhale. That's keepopt.com/TRIPLEWHALE. Find out what they could do for you. keepopt.com/triplewhale. Today I'm chatting with marketing attribution expert Joe Davis. Joe is the COO at Suite Analytics, an analytics suite where you can bring all your data together to get a single customer view and benchmark against the industry. Prior to joining Suite Analytics, Joe spent 18 years working at big name retailers in the UK across the fashion and furniture sectors. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Chloe. How are you doing?
I'm good. Lovely to have you here with me for this episode. How did you go from working at retailers to being very deep in the world of marketing attribution?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. I kind of fell into it in some ways, to be really honest. After Multi-York in 2017, I set up my own brand, designing pet accessories, and started to invest in lots of different channels. And found it quite difficult to understand how, you know, where my return on investment was coming from and where to spend my next pound. And at the same time, because of obviously one of a spark from Multi-York, I started to freelance at Suite and found the whole attribution area absolutely fascinating, and I'm quite a helper. I like to help people, and it seems to be one of the biggest problems out there. So it's something I've really invested a lot of time into.
And it does, you're right, it does seem to be one of those biggest problems people are dealing with out there. And it seems like everyone seems to be jumping in my opinion, those who I'm coming across, they're jumping in at like step 10 rather than starting from step one. It's like, we need attribution, do this, and we'll have attribution tomorrow. And it's like any strategy, there's quite a bit of thinking that comes in before. So where do we start? You're spending your days talking to retailers who are going through this process at the moment. Where should they start their journey towards bringing attribution into their business?
Well, I think number one is, like you said, really trying to understand what attribution means. And, you know, quite simply, you're trying to understand where your sales are coming from. So what are you doing? It's a cause and effect. So when I do something, what then happens? So number one, which, you know, I quite often come across, is actually clients and brands understanding what are they doing in terms of marketing touch points. And it's not just the simple things that springs to mind. So Google Analytics, you know, records the last non-direct click. So someone's come from somewhere they've bought, oh, there you go, that's what I'm going to give the sale to. Actually, there's lots of things happening all the time, such as PR, referral programs, refer friends, review sites, word of mouth. You know, there's lots of different things happening. Plus, there's an awful lot happening offline at the moment as well, not just your online marketing. So it's about, I'd start with, okay, let me just think about all the different ways in which I'm speaking to my customer, which is essentially what we would call a touch point. I'm creating a touch point for my brand to the customer to start with. And then second to that, you really need to understand how much you're spending per channel. So what, you know, so when we come back to trying to attribute sales against your spend, the spend generally is non-debatable. You spend £5,000 on Facebook last week, you spent £5,000. No one's going to debate that number. But what sales actually came from Facebook is the question. So really understanding what you're doing, number one, I think is really, really important.
I imagine a fair few brands, especially larger, as you know, as the business has increased, when they're going through this process, discover some channels where they're talking to customers they'd totally forgotten existed, as it, you know, as is often the case in a business.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, one of the biggest traps people fall down is assumptions, assuming that they know what's driving what sales, but quite often there's many more factors in play. There's also quite often a misconception that one channel does something. So it's, you know, I quite often get asked the wrong questions. I think, you know, one of the biggest things is to ask the right questions. So when I'm asked, oh, how much did my direct mail drive for me in sales last year? You know, obviously that's not the right question, because your customer will be doing lots of different things at the same time. So direct mail can do things such as build awareness, we're doing cold mailings, but also does a great job of increasing your lifetime value of your current clients. But quite often there's lots of different things happening at the same time. So it's more about what's the participation of my attributions, that contribution versus attribution, do I need to think about, so that we're not getting too isolated in one channel. It's about the customer. It's we're putting the customer first, and what are those touch points and things that are happening. A really common journey is search, paid search, when we're creating you know, a push or a pull campaign, when people are searching for something. Brand new customer, never heard of you before, search for pink dresses, great, I found this brand, I go to the website, I get a pop-up, you know, join our mailing list, you get 10% off your first order, great, I'll do that. And then they purchase. You know, would they have done one without the other? That's the kind of questions that need to be asked to really understand what should I do more of, or actually do I need to be doing more things together.
So does it start with a customer journey mapping process rather than necessarily starting with a tech audit?
I think the tech audit is really important. You can't do the customer journey analysis without the tech audit. You know, I'm not the most technical person in the world, but I do know there's some experts out there that can do that for us, which is great. But if we've not got the right tech in place to be able to track the different touch points, as I call them, then it's going to be impossible to analyze the customer journey. And that's, again, both offline and online. So you can combine your data now to understand, okay, someone's been sent a catalog or a postcard, and then they searched for my brand, and then that's when they bought. So the tech audit is really, really important, but there's still lots of limitations in terms of it collecting that data. There's some numbers thrown around, but number I see quite often is actually 98% of impressions. So that contact with the customer is not trackable. We're left with quite little tracking data at times to make those decisions. If I can give one bit of advice today, it's make sure your tracking is in place to collect as much data as you possibly can to make your decisions, because there's a lot of data you can't collect.
Yeah, and it's kind of you, but and you need that data to start to understand the customer journeys, to start to work out what the questions are that an attribution program needs to answer for you. And you mentioned about the impressions being untrackable. Especially when we get into offline, or when, if we're a brand which does well on word of mouth, the ability to track that is so hard. So I guess we have to, from day one of this journey, just go, right, some of this is going to be untrackable, and we have to understand we're never going to get to a perfect point with attribution, because until we can tap into everyone's brains and find a way to understand it, there's no way of doing that. So perfection is not the end goal.
Absolutely not. And I did a presentation quite recently where I put something in the presentation, which was, the only way you'll really understand how your customer decided to buy with you is actually give them a call and ask them. And then I quickly retracted from that actually and said, actually, no, most people wouldn't know why they bought from you either. So you really have to understand what you can track and what you can't. Because there's certain activities are about awareness and creating impressions, and certain activities about conversions. So understanding the difference between those two is really key.
And as we said earlier, you're talking to a lot of retailers day in, day out who are about to go on this journey, and others who are fully on this journey. So we've talked about the important do of getting everything organized and focused before you start. What other do's and don'ts have you seen people doing that are great, or that are, just don't do that because that's going to set you back?
I think just being very reactive can be quite common, especially at the moment. The world that we live in, especially in the UK, is that we're very profit focused at the moment. People are being quite careful with their spend. I think it's really important not to be too reactive because you haven't seen direct tracking to a channel. It's about digging into that and understanding that a little bit better. And I think, we talked a little bit about a science versus an art, and the science is the tracking. That's the actual data that you've got, and to get too reliant on that data can be quite dangerous. But to completely ignore it is even worse. And it's assumptions, I think, is probably one of the biggest risks out there. People assuming something's happened and something's happening, and what, all of a sudden I can't see as much tracking on Facebook, for example, or my emails all of a sudden are not getting the best track. I'm not getting great sales from email. And quite often when we dig into this, it's because the tracking's been switched off, or the code's gone wrong, or the UTM's changed, and it's other people have got involved. And I have seen some big decisions being made on these errors. So it's making sure not to be too reactive and don't assume we know what's happening when there is data out there to help.
Yeah, I think those are two good ideas for life there, really, aren't they? Don't be too reactive and don't make assumptions. Double check what you're looking at is what you should be looking at. I've seen, yeah, like you, I've seen many an account go, or a piece of activity go badly because of assumptions or because of reactions. But you mentioned then about the fact this is an art and a science as well. Let's talk a bit about the art side of that, because I think this is another thing which people coming into this, they go, right, okay, so we need to work out our objectives. We need to work out some questions to ask. We need to get our tech stack right. We need to build it all, and then we're going to get beautiful, beautiful data. That's the science bit, but there's a huge amount of art to interpreting the science, isn't there? So can you tell us a bit about that, please, Jo?
So I think the biggest question I get is, how can I understand my paid social spend? And that's when the art comes in, because there isn't an awful lot of tracking, and you can use any platform. If you compare your Google Analytics sales to your Facebook sales using Facebook Manager and compare it to Suite, our platform, you'll start to get lots of different numbers. And I think it's really understanding the difference, first of all, between attribution and your native attribution. So, for example, if you were to look at your Klaviyo, the sales they're saying they've made through the Klaviyo campaigns, the sales that Facebook Manager have claimed, Google Analytics, what they're saying they're driving, a direct matchback for a direct mail campaign, for example. You add up all those numbers together for last month, where it may be, it's probably much higher than the cash you actually took in, you know, as a business. So what you're trying to do is explain your numbers. So if you took £1 million in December, you want to try and explain that £1 million. I think that's number one. With Facebook being one of the biggest, quite often one of the biggest spends brands have at the moment, especially if you're just an online brand, even Facebook themselves say that, you know, there's nothing to track. So they're giving a view attribution and a click attribution. And click within Facebook doesn't mean a click to the website either. It just means something's been clicked. It could be a click for a carousel or click to the homepage. You know, they're themselves are saying this is not just click through. There's very little of it's click through to the website. And I'm normally seeing probably like 10% of what Facebook is saying comes through in an attribution tracking. So like a last not direct model, for example. So you really have to think outside the box. And this is when the art form comes in, and it's about incremental testing, which sounds a bit boring, but it's you really have to test and learn to try and make some decisions, and you're never going to get this exact. It's never going to be perfect. But I mean, for example, I have a brand that I work with, a fashion brand. They trade in 7 different countries, 7 different websites, very low tracking in one of their markets in Europe, but spending quite a lot of money on Facebook. Okay, let's switch it off. And if I could show you the graph, it was like an absolute perfect valley, a perfect V shape. The sales hit the floor like way more than we thought they were going to. And we also saw what channels that affected. So even though most of the sales were coming through organic and direct and the paid brand campaigns, actually, when we switched Facebook off, because we couldn't see hardly any tracking coming from Facebook, all of those channels were affected. And from that incremental testing, so doing a very flat playing field, nothing else happening, we actually learned that about 90% of that organic traffic was actually driven by Facebook. Now, you're never going to, again, it's never going to be exact, but you know what the drop was over that period of time compared to the trend you'd normally see at that time of the year, or comparing it to other websites, as they had the luxury of having seven different sites. And then from that, you can start to put some rules in place, really. So you can say, okay, going forward, every time I get a sale that's attributed to organic search from a last non-direct, actually, say it's a £100 order, I'm giving £10 to that channel, but I'm giving £90 to paid social. So then you're starting to build up a much truer, in a sense, like a picture that you're more comfortable with, when you're relating it back to that cost. Because, you know, the whole idea of attribution is about I'm spending, I'm getting. It's that return on investment that you're trying to understand. And where do I spend my next pound, my next dollar, my next euro, whatever it may be? So you're trying to relate it back to that cost. If you've got a consistent rules in place that comes back to your to measure that return on investment metric, you feel a bit more comfortable about upping the spend. Because when you keep increasing Facebook spend, but you're seeing your organic sales drop grow, it feels a bit uncomfortable, right? You're like, oh God, is it this? But you have to do something. You have to be creative and do something to actually test what you think that channel's actually doing.
I think that's such an important point, because I think often people get excited by the idea of making the attribution perfect, and they get to a point where a month after the activity happened, they're happy it's absolutely perfect. But the whole point of attribution, in my opinion, is to make your marketing budget and your marketing effort work harder for you. And if you're spending money on Google ads or Facebook ads or TikTok ads, that means you've got people who should every day be going in and checking the results and tweaking things. And if you haven't set up rules that they can use in real time to understand the impact of what they're doing, then you're totally not getting any gains from it at all, apart from probably making the boss think they're happy when actually there's terrible things going on below. So I think that turning it into something that we can use day to day by doing tests like, we'll turn it off, see if anything happens. Oh, sales have gone down. Right. We know that's really important. Let's build it into our model. Is a bit which I think people think they can just get an answer, and actually there is this marketer's brain that needs to come into it and go, this is happening, or the results have dropped, why have they dropped? Oh, we were testing some different creative, we'll change it back. It's that full view of what's going on in marketing is super important in this part. You can't just give it to another department and hope they give you good numbers back.
Yeah. And I think, you know, a scenario that I come across quite often, I work with a lot of marketing directors, head of marketing, marketing managers, etc. They need to report to their stakeholders and their board. And quite often the attribution comes from, you know, in my opinion, quite a flat reporting system such as Google Analytics. And it shows, you know, paid social is usually the issue. It's driven no money. And people perhaps aren't as experienced or, you know, in the detail of the marketing, it put a lot of pressure on those departments then to switch the spend off and spend it somewhere else. And I've seen some do it. They've reacted and all of a sudden they've got budget and they'll say to me, Joe, where do I spend this money? But nothing else has increased because you've switched off Facebook. Actually, everything's come down. But the powers will be do not want to put that money back in unless they can see a direct correlation of sales. So doing that testing and showing those results, I think, can give a lot of confidence to everybody involved, rather than just, again, assuming that actually the spend is doing this, because you may see the complete opposite. You may see you turn the spend off and actually have no impact on the other channels. So again, it's important. And I've seen that scenario many times also. So it is really important not to assume.
Yeah, the learnings can be great whichever way they go. It's like, okay, it is working. Oh, it's not. Let's move that money somewhere else. And Joe, the brands, the kind of the idea of a brand that we've been talking about has been going through this. We're talking about multiple channels. We're talking about, you know, multiple layers of teams within the business. At what point in the growth trajectory of an e-commerce brand do you think it's worth starting to have the attribution discussion and getting into it? Is it something we should do from day one but just keep simple? Or is it something when we hit, I know, 1 million a year is when we care about it? What's your take on that?
I mean, well, I think the best practice, of course, would be from day one. And we do work with brands, so we get everything in place before they've even switched on their website when they're at a startup point. I think most brands haven't got that luxury. I think most of them are far too down the line. And if we look at the last 20 years, we didn't have any of this information. You know, in my day, we would call up the store managers and say, hi, how much traffic do you think came to the store last week? Why do you think that was your best seller? What have you got in your window? Do you think, how many new customers did you get against repeat customers? And, you know, you just didn't, you know, why do you think had an increase in footfall? What did you speak to the customers? What were they saying? It was so anecdotal. And now we have the luxury, to a certain extent, I say it's quite a headache, but, you know, we have the luxury of all this information. And it's about, you know, what do we do with it? With the online tracking, it is worth noting it can't be backtracked because it's live tracking. So, you know, if you are listening to this today and you haven't got your tracking set up, it's pretty important to do that straight away. Even if you're not analysing the data, it's really important to start building it up. And quite often with the startup companies that I work with, we'll start tracking the data from day one. You maybe not be analysing it until kind of 6 months in, once you've got a bit of history and some action to go back and look at.
Excellent. Thank you, Joe. Right. It's been great picking your brains about all those nitty gritty bits of marketing attribution. Listeners, please do stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Joe's insider tips, which are coming up very shortly, and my suggestions for more resources to help you improve things even further in your business. So, do you want to transform your data into growth? Given you're listening to one of our marketing attribution episodes, I reckon the answer might be yes. So I would like to tell you about Triple Whale, the smart data platform where you can manage analytics, attribution, and creative for your Shopify store in one place. Triple Whale brings the metrics that matter most into one easy-to-use dashboard, giving you the real-time insights you need to grow your brand. Just like Ash Melwani and the team at Obvi did using Triple Whale to increase revenue 67%, reduce Facebook cost per acquisition by 44%, and save over 2,800 hours of manual calculation time. Wow. Find out all about Triple Whale at keepopt.com/triplewhale, or why not grab a quick call with one of their strategists to see how over 5,000 Shopify brands are using Triple Whale to turn data into profit. You can do all that at keepopt.com/triplewhale. That's keepopt.com/TRIPLEWHALE. Find out what they could do for you. keepopt.com/triplewhale. Okay, Joe, so far we've gone deep into lots of different things in the world of marketing attribution. Now you get to wow us with even more of your insider knowledge about it. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with marketing attribution, which of course includes everything we've already been talking about. So Joe, are you ready for the insider tips?
Yes, go for it.
Excellent. Okay, let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to do to give themselves the best chance of success?
Number one, understand what is trackable and what isn't. So what's your science and what's your art is number one. I'd also really recommend keep a track of everything that's happening. So a really detailed marketing calendar can pay dividends going forward. If it's as simple as an editorial or a good review that's had lots of traction, just keep a record of everything that's happened, because it will really help when you come to that art part where you want to do some testing.
I love that. Once upon a time, I used to do promo calendar creation training, and kind of one of the most important points in it was, yeah, it's great for planning the future, but it's even better if you keep an accurate record of what happened. Because right now you think you're going to remember what happened in this particular week, and in about a month's time, you're not. And you're going to wonder why there was a spike. So I love that retrospective accuracy of your promo calendar. Hard to do, but oh, so well worth doing it. Okay, now once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
Test and learn. I've spoken about it quite a lot within this podcast, but do something, test the result. It's the absolute best way to keep optimizing and understanding what your actions are doing.
Yeah, and I think be brave with your tests when it comes to attribution as well. Do turn something off if you need to.
Yeah, I mean, and I talked about turning a whole channel off earlier. You can just turn off a region or a particular type of campaign if you don't want to turn your whole Facebook channel off if you've got a huge budget. But yes, you need to do something that's going to cause an action.
Definitely. Okay, if someone wants to learn more, is there one cheap or free resource you would recommend?
Oh, shamelessly, I'm going to say Suite Analytics. You know, we do a free trial period, so you can put your data into Suite and start your tracking with our tracker. That involves a conversation with myself as well as part of that free trial. No commitment to go forward. So if you want to start that journey, I'd really recommend you get on board.
I like that as well. I'm loving all your answers here, Joe. You're doing really good. But I like that because I think attribution, it's one of those areas that until you start getting to grips with it in your own business, you don't really fully understand the ins and the outs and which bits relate to you. So to get started with a bit of data is a great tip. Thank you. Finally, crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
Well, again, this is within Suite, but I do think it's going to be coming across other platforms and across the board as well, is what I would call a customized attribution model. So we talked about that test and learn, and you may understand that a percentage of your organic traffic is actually coming from paid channels, but be able to set those rules within your own data. So an order comes in and you decide how that order gets attributed based on your own rules. And it can also be things such as discount code usage. So if you're a welcome campaign happening and anyone uses that welcome 10 code, you say, okay, it goes there. I don't care what other touch points there were. I just want to attribute the sales to that campaign. Then you can do that. So again, understanding your tracking and your learnings now will pay dividends as these more sophisticated models come into play, which generally just require a setup. And then you've got a consistent way of measuring your return on investment going forward.
Nice. I like that as well. Okay, Joe, we are very nearly at the end of the show. So could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business?
So if you want to find me, you can get me on LinkedIn. It's Joe Davis. Or you can go straight to our website at suiteanalytics.com and register for a demo.
And we should make it really clear that Suite is spelt S-W-E-E-T in this scenario.
All about the sugar. Yep.
Yeah, think sugar, everybody. Joe, thank you so much for being on the Keep Optimizing podcast and for being so generous sharing your marketing attribution expertise with us. It's been a real pleasure.
My pleasure. Thanks, Chloe.
So more great marketing attribution insight there from today's episode's guest, Joe. As we've kind of mentioned in a lot of these marketing attribution episodes, it's it's a lot down to getting clear on what your aims are, getting that tech stack right, and then learning how to interpret the data. And I think that that perspective, Joe, think of it as being an art as well as a science, is a really good thing to remember. It's not just about the numbers you're seeing, it's about understanding what builds up those numbers and what they may mean, what they may not mean, where they might fit together in the customer journey. And sometimes taking those hunches and proving the point is all about actually turning something off and seeing what happens. If we turn this off, what happens? And that also, of course, then enables you to create those rules that you can feed back to use in the day-to-day marketing decisions in the business, which is where the change comes and where the benefits from all this activity come from. You can get the links to everything we've just been discussing, important notes and more, at keepoptimizing.com, or use our straight to episode URLs. So that's keepopt.com/ whatever the number of this episode is, and that will take you straight to the correct page on the website. When you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business, which includes our monthly Q&A webinar. And yes, we are doing one on marketing attribution. That means the majority, hopefully all of our guests from this series on marketing attribution will be coming back to join us for a live Q&A session where you can get your questions answered. We don't put this out on the podcast. We do this on the web in the virtual sphere with video and all kinds of cool stuff. We just do it with video on a webinar platform. Nothing cooler than that. But you can come and join us and get your marketing attributions questions answered. I suspect it's going to be quite an interesting debate this time, so please do come and join us. If you go to keepopt.com/webinar, you can register for that, and then you will get access to both the live session and the replay and the ability to send me your questions in advance. Thank you hugely for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, then we've already got two other marketing attribution episodes ready for you to listen to. You can grab those by scrolling up your feed wherever you're listening, or by going to keepopt.com/attribution. And please do spread the word to your fellow marketers and tell them about the show, because I know a lot of you are trying to work out whether you should be doing attribution, how you should be doing attribution, what attribution means, how to do it, and all the rest of it at the moment. And we put these episodes together to hopefully shed a bit of light on the key things you need to be making decisions around to set yourself up for success with your attribution activity. So please do spread the word, because I want to help as many of you as possible to improve your e-commerce marketing. Have a brilliant week, and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Book your triple whale demo today and transform your data into growth. You can do all that at keepopt.com/triple whale. That's keepopt.com/TRIPLEWHALE.